This is July 24th, 1974. I'm Mildred Rubenstein, recording for the National Council of Jewish Women with Jeanette Kalson, and we're interviewing Louis Reisenstein. Good morning, Mr. Reisenstein.
All present are accounted for. Okay.
Yeah. We'd like to hear about your family history.
Well, in the 1850s, three Jewish boys left Frankfurt to make their fortunes in America. There was one boy and two cousins who were brothers, and all of the Reisensteins in the United States are descendants from these three males.
What were their names?
My grandfather, I don't know, remember the names of the two that were cousins, but my grandfather's name was Israel, and when he came to America, he changed to Charles, and the store was called First Charles Reisenstein Company, and then C. Reisenstein Sons. He settled in New York, and when Lincoln called for 70,000 volunteers, he volunteered and fought 4 years in the Civil War. He must have got several leaves because he fathered some children during that time, and the total of them were 10, even mixture of boys and girls.
Excuse me, did he marry a girl from Germany or did he marry here?
He married Rosa Streng, who was also from Germany. They are both of them buried in Westview in a family lot. He moved to Franklin, PA, on the square. After oil was discovered, he thought he could do better there, so it wasn't very successful.
Was this from New York he moved to Franklin, Pennsylvania?
Yeah. Then from, he packed all his tribe and possessions on a flat-bottom river boat and floated down to Lower Allegheny. He rented a storeroom and the family lived upstairs. They specialized in lamps and lamp chimneys.
Was this on the north side?
That was in Allegheny, old mm-hmm. Allegheny. And he was not too successful, so he put a pack on his back and pedaled while my grandmother kept store. And my father, when he was 7 or 8 years old, used to come down before he went to school and sweep out. And he only went to school until he was about 11 or 12.
Pardon me, what was your father's name?
Louis Reisenstein. The only difference in our names is that I have a J, which was derived from my mother's maiden name, which was Jacob, J-C-O-B-S. She was born in Marietta, and
Ohio.
And he married her in Dayton. Then they moved to Pittsburgh. Father was a international authority from on glass, china, and ceramics of all kinds.
We established your mother's name as Frieda Jacobs.
Yeah. The my father crossed the ocean 58 times. He used to go every year and buy for the store, which was on Federal Street in Allegheny, a few doors from the Carnegie Library. Later on, they opened a store on 6th Avenue, where Gimbel's now are. And the entire business was finally moved over to Pittsburgh. The amount of traveling my father did was very great, and he established himself as became probably the best informed man in America on commercial china and glass.
What countries did he visit when he made these trips? Where did he do his buying?
In France, England, Holland, Germany, mostly, Italy. He was, when Valsan Lambert, Valsan Lambert, glass factory was destroyed in near Liège. He came and designed all their new line for the American market. And in recognition of this, King Albert made him a Chevalier of the Order of the Crown of Belgium. I still have the pictures of when he was decorated. He was able to establish a design for glassware.
Where did he get this knowledge? He started out in the lamp business.
Just by picking it up.
And, of course, his...
He had an active mind and forgot very little that he ever heard or learned.
Was it possibly his father-in-law who had given him... Was it possibly his father-in-law who had been giving him...
This was...
That's an innate talent, too, I guess.
Well, in any event... when he was a small boy, he used to take a two-wheeled pushcart over to the south side where they made lamp chimneys and get the stock necessary and then come across the bridge and put it in stock. Then he, while he was there, of course, he watched them make the chimneys, and they blew them by hand then into a long cylinder and then cut the bottom off. And so my father decided that was a waste of glassware, so he talked to Mr. Heisey, who was the president of the company, and they didn't have anything as patents in those days, and he then said you should take this bottom that you snapped off and make it into a glass tumbler. That was the first tumblers that were made in America.
That fascinating.
They drank out of goblets or mugs. The actual value of that discovery was great, but he made nothing out of it. Mr. Heisey was very pleased and said he'd see that my father got as good a price as anyone did, which was a big help.
That's a nice story.
Incidentally, the store had was not very profitable always, and my father was always on the borderline of being busted, but he managed to wangle through. Later on, when he became 88 or 85, he died in 91. My brother ran the business. He was an awfully fine guy, but had no head for business.
What was your brother's name?
Charles, after my grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was succeeded by his son, Louis P. Reisenstein, who was not much more successful than his father had been, although somewhat more.
Did you have any other brothers or sisters?
Huh?
Did you have any other brothers
I
or
had,
sisters?
One other brother, Harry Reisenstein, who was the export manager of Westinghouse, and a sister, L. Rose Silverman. She married Dr. Alex Silverman, who was the head of the School of Chemistry at the University of Pittsburgh.
Pardon me, what was her first name?
Yeah. Alexander Silverman.
Yes, no, her first name.
Elrose, E-L-R-O-S-E.
Is Mrs.
She
Silverman living?
Huh?
Mrs. Silverman living?
No, he died
Mrs.
11 years ago, but she's still living.
She's living. Mm-hmm.
I'm keeping her in a nursing home in New Wilmington.
Mm-hmm.
She's been there for 10 years.
And what about Harry?
He died about 12 years ago.
And your brother Charles?
He died about 10 years ago.
So
I don't know. I may be off a year or two. The incidentally, my father's grandfather's wife.
Your father's grandfather's wife.
Grandfather,
yes.
On the Jacob side,
right.
Married. Brother and sister married brother and sister.
Which was common in those days.
That happened in the next generation when my father married Frieda Jacobs, and his sister, Sophie Reisenstein, married Meyer Jacobs, brother and sister again. Then it happened a third time when Alexander Silverman married my sister Elrose, and his sister, Frieda Reisenstein, Frieda Silverman, married Charles Reisenstein.
Oh, how interesting.
But that can't happen again, because we're not so prolific. The next thing you might be interested in is the, as far as I'm concerned, I went to Allegheny High School after leaving grade school, and because there wasn't enough money to send me to college, I took business law, chemistry, and accounting at night, and
where did you go to school at night?
University of Pittsburgh. The
it wasn't the Cathedral.
The chemistry I got in a correspondence course from the University of Chicago. Dr. Julia Stieglitz was a very competent teacher. The amount of chemistry stood me in good stead because I was able to get a couple patents, one of which was reasonably profitable.
Which was that?
As a,
would it be too complicated?
It was it takes a little explaining. During the war, the price of tung oil, T-U-N-G, or known also as China wood oil, rose to 40 and 50 cents a gallon. And I was working messing around in the laboratory and found that I could take a castor oil, not internally, and cook it with a salt such as aluminum sulfate and make it into a substitute for the expensive China wood oil. I decided to apply for a patent, and resultant thing, it took about three or four years before they could work the patent through, and by that time the price of China wood oil had dropped so that it was no longer commercially practicable. Then my patent attorney wanted to know if I wanted to apply for the patent. It cost me about $100 or so to get the patent issued, and I didn't even know whether I should spend that much money on it, because it was a dead pigeon. But I decided I never hadn't had a patent in my own name up to that date, so I went ahead. The patent lay in my drawer I was president of Falcon Company, by the way, by that time. I became associated from 17 years of age on with the Falks.
This was Leon Falk Sr.
Leon Falk Sr. Gave me a job at the munificent salary of $8 a week.
What did you do for that salary?
Whatever I was told. The later on, I served 6 months in the Army.
Did you enlist like your grandfather?
Service, huh?
Did you enlist like your grandfather did?
No, I didn't enlist like he did. I went and joined. I didn't see any actual fighting. I never got out of the country. I went to officers training school, and by the time my commission was to come through, the war went bluey, and I never did get a commission. I wouldn't have taken it anyhow, because you had to sign up for 4 years. I didn't want to be a peacetime soldier. The next thing that maybe interests you is the fact that the Falks had been unsuccessful in Falk Company. Then they sent me to Minneapolis, and I became a master baker on a 6 month course at Dunwoody Institute, associated with the University of Minnesota. And then when I came back, I became technical director and later sales manager of the Falk American Potato Flour Corporation. And then when that was unsuccessful, I stayed with the Falks and became a clerk with the company. And when started Falk and Company. We had, we started with a capital of $25,000, and I rented the old place in Carnegie, Rossland Farms, Carnegie, from the Falks. I found that the first month in business on $25,000 capital, we did $44,000 in business, and from then on we very slowly built the business up.
Now, what type of business was this?
Our principal business was refining fish oils and resins, R-E-S-I-N-S. The actual amount of business we did slowly increased, and in 1947 we sold out to Cargill Incorporated of Minneapolis, a very large grain company that wanted to get in the protective coating field. They felt the reputation which we had built up over the years would be useful to them. They paid us for half of it, the equivalent of some $2 million, and later we sold them the other half at a lesser price when they wanted all of it. I didn't sell them the business that I built up on the side of selling resins to the protective coating and linoleum and asphalt field, and they were able to build up a business in the field of all kinds of
byproducts,
protective coatings.
Oh,
the,
like waxes and waxes and finishes, that type of protective coating.
Later, I sold the resins under the name of Falk Chemical Company, and the company that I represented, Pennsylvania Industrial Chemical Company, became said there was no sense to having two companies. So we merged the two. It was like an elephant merging with a mouse. We were the mouse. The business of Pennsylvania Industrial Chemical prospered. I became secretary and later vice chairman of the board. And then in 1974, we sold out the whole business to Hercules Incorporated. That's a company on the big board, and we took Hercules stock for our stock in Pennsylvania Industrial Chemical. In my life other than business,
may I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Your leanings were towards the sciences and chemistry.
Yeah.
You were not interested in the business that
No.
your father had established?
I had one brother in it, and he had trouble making a living, so I didn't want to go
You had no
that.
Parts of it?
No, no part of it.
All right. Well, we have covered your immediate family, which is where we started. I think we have enough information on
As you know, In 1924, I married Florence Silverstein, who was a remarkable woman, and we had a very happy married life until an unfortunate accident killed her 4 years ago and put me in the hospital for a month and our housekeeper for a couple of weeks. She was terrifically interested in civil rights. Her biography is pretty well known. And she had a terrific feel for the underdog and spent a great deal of her time and some of my money promoting that field. She was about 8 years ago, or 9 years ago, she was selected to be a Distinguished Daughter of Pennsylvania, and became the first chairman of the Human Relations Commission in Pittsburgh, and later on she was on the State Commission.
Where did you meet your charming wife?
I was invited to a party, and because I lived on Wineville and she lived on Eveline, they suggested I pick her up and bring her, and that's where we met.
You both were from East End. At that time, you moved to East End.
We had moved from Allegheny to East End long after we should have. And
how old were you when you moved?
I had gotten out of the Army in about 23, I think. In 1924, we married and lived for a time with my father while I was trying to save as much money as we could to build up the business, because we were always short of capital.
Why did you move to that section of Pittsburgh?
I don't know.
Was that a nice...
Handy in the hospital. The amount of work which we did in other fields and civil rights and so forth. I was active in Rotary, became president of the Carnegie Rotary Club, and also was active in the American Jewish Committee, the whole mess of organizations.
I'd like to get back to when you and Florence were first married. You said you made your home with your father.
For a couple of years then.
Then
we're not wanting to leave him. We moved, he lived downstairs in a duplex, and he moved in the, he lived in the upper stairs. So we were still together, but separate.
All right.
Separate, but equal.
What were those early years like?
What's that?
What were those early years like?
Well, we unfortunately lost two children at birth. Florence couldn't carry through to completion her pregnancy, and in 36, I think it was, we adopted a three-month-old baby boy, which is our son David. He lives in New York and is a computer specialist. We have one grandchild, Philip, who's in camp now in Florida.
What was the religious atmosphere in your home? The religious atmosphere in your home?
Well, we were always Reformed Jews. Florence had received, as I had 4 years earlier, the Abraham Lippmann Medal for...
Did you attend services? Did you attend services?
I ushered in temple for about 30 to 40 years until I got too old to totter around. Dr. Levy had a great influence on my life, J. Leonard Levy, and was a man and recommended me to Leon Falk Sr., who gave me this job that I described earlier.
The job you had for $8 a week. For $8 a week.
Should we pick up next?
All right. What about the cultural influences? Music, books?
I used to write a lot of verse. I went from bad to verse, and
suppose you tell us about the discipline in your household as a boy. Was your father very strict?
He didn't pay much attention to us.
How about your mother?
My mother ran the show as far as the family was concerned, and she was a very sweet person and let us get away with a lot of murder, I guess.
One of the things you didn't tell us, because you're very modest, and I read this when I did my homework, was that you were valedictorian of your class in high school.
Religious aspect of, and I was one of the founders of, along with Leon Falk and Lou Kaplan and so forth, of Temple Sinai. When Burton Levinson was the first rabbi, but I'm still a member of Sinai. As well as Run of Shalom. You have to be a good Jew to belong to two shuls.
That's very good.
It's an advantage. You can always say you're at the other one.
When they're looking for you. What was the discipline like in your home when you raised David?
Somewhat loose.
Yes.
I don't think we were very well disciplined.
The economic situation as a young boy, you said, was a little shaky.
It was until I was able to build up something in Falk and Company. And subsequently, I gradually built up my financial competence.
If you were to ride by... The home where you grew up, what section of Allegheny or the north side would you...
It's in the on Brighton Road, and I think our old homestead is probably inhabited by Negroes. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a disorderly house.
Well, they've done so much restoration, you know, with the American landmarks. They didn't do one over there.
They wouldn't want to restore that.
How about the one on Wineville?
That we rented that, still there.
It's probably still there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where did you move from there?
From Wineville, we moved to... I left out something that's interesting. Florence's father had a farm in Bakerstown, and we
this is Mr.
used
Silverstein.
To go out there in the summer.
Mr. Silverstein,
and,
right?
And he gave me 2 acres of land on which I built a small summer house. Then as my financial ability increased, first I jacked up the house and put a cellar under it. Then I put on an addition to the second floor, and every extra money I had went into the farm. The 1 year during the war, I had been raising flowers. I saw to say 1 year we raised and sold two million gladiolus, and if I was very successful, I'd lose $5,000 or $10,000.
I never knew you were a horticulturist.
Yeah.
It's just, your garden here is just beautiful.
Then came the war, and I didn't want to be like Ferdinand the Bull, ground and smelling flowers while the fighting's going on. So I talked to the county agent, and he suggested that I raise eggs. I have a shortage of eggs. So I built a half a dozen laying pens, and we were very successful getting the eggs, but couldn't make any money on it, as I indicated.
Well, you had to have chickens. They don't grow on plants.
I also had 500 turkeys on wire. I never did anything the easy way. It was always the hard way. But
where is Baker? Is it Baker?
Bakerstown.
Bakerstown. Where is
that? That's a midway between Butler and Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. on a Bakerstown-Valencia road across mm-hmm. from the Pittsburgh Cut Flower Company. Subsequently, we sold the farm because it was taking too much time and effort. But I never ceased to be interested in growing things. I can blame that on Florence because
she taught you how, or you she
taught me how.
She became interested. I repeat, where did you move when you left Wineville Street? Where was your next home?
Up to Inverness Street. I bought a home at Inverness and Maynard, and later on sold it and moved down to this place here. In the interim, when I was at the farm, I kept an apartment in the Shunley Apartments because sometimes you could make it out there in the slippery weather, and sometimes you couldn't.
So you'd stay in the city.
Yeah.
And you built this home on Ellsworth Place? This you built?
And this one, no, I bought it.
You bought
it.
Mm-hmm.
I did a lot of changes. I put mm-hmm. on a greenhouse. And
it's charming.
Changed the inside a lot.
It's a very pleasant home, very livable.
I guess that's all you want of that part of the story.
I think we ought to be done now. I think this is just about a conclusion.
Okay.
But we would like very much to thank you.